It's Wednesday. That means it's Josh Ward time. Segment number two, Josh Ward stops by the show. We'll dive into the Pro Football Focus grades from the Kentucky game in segment one, and we'll finish off with the Volunteers' victory over UT Martin. How did it happen? Who shined? All that and more here on a Wednesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into a Wednesday, Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner, at Locked On Vols. I do radio in Knoxville, also write for the rival site covering Tennessee, that is volquest.com. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols, again, your first listen every day. It's completely free, 5 days a week on every single platform, but YouTube will be coming soon. So I appreciate you guys for your constant support of this show. So we will have Josh Ward in segment two. We're going to dive into the Pro Football Focus rankings from the Kentucky win in segment one, and then we'll talk about a Big Orange Hoops victory, season open victory over UT Martin in segment number three to kind of finish off the show. But first, guys, I want to remind you that this episode is brought to you by McDonald's. Proudly serving communities since 1965, McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. McDonald's, I'm loving it. All right, so when you look at the Pro Football Focus grades for Tennessee at Kentucky, you score 38 points in 13 minutes of possession time on offense. The grades are going to be good, right? I mean, there were only a couple ones that were really just not great whatsoever, and we'll get to that in a moment. Defensively, well, as you'd expect, you had a couple guys that shined, but overall the grades were kind of lacking per Pro Football Focus. And remember, you got to take all these with a grain of salt. I like Pro Football Focus because they go a little bit more in-depth. They tell a story. They have a unique grading scale. 50 and below is a backup. 50 to 59 is a below average starter. 60 to 69 is an average starter. 70 to 79 is an above average starter. 80 to 89 is very good. And 90 to 99 is considered elite. So when you look at Tennessee's offensive grade, Cedric Tillman, who had another really strong showing game, he led the way at a 76.6 was his overall grade, leading the Tennessee wide receivers and every offensive player. Tyon Evans came in number two, but really he only had six total play snaps before he left, but he had a 72.2. Cade Mays, who was the offensive lineman of the week for the Southeastern Conference, 72.2 was his grade. He had 49 total snaps, 30 of which were pass-blocking reps, 19 of which were run-blocking reps, and he was really, really sharp in pass blocking, 81.9, again, which is considered an above-average starter, or that's considered very good, actually. And he was a 66.2 in the run game. So Cade Mays, a solid, solid game, and probably a big reason why. You know, of course, he was offensive lineman of the week for the Southeastern Conference. Jacob Warren came in at number four for Tennessee's offense, grading out at a 71.9. Of course, he did have that touchdown catch on that A slip there in the red zone. Jalen Hyatt, only five reps. He comes in at number five, 71.4. But Cooper Mays, number six overall for Tennessee's offense, the starting center, 71.3, 68.1 in pass blocking on 30 pass blocking reps. I think that's an improvement for Cooper. It's good to see. And of course, you know, he's going to have a monster test ahead of him against Georgia because Jordan Davis lines up at the nose a lot of the time. Hendon Hooker, Tennessee's quarterback and the SEC Offensive Player of the Week, 69.9 was his grade against Kentucky. And when you look at how he did throwing the football, he was 1-of-1, 20 yards down the field, past the left hash, 1-of-1 with the touchdown. Of course, that was the touchdown to Javonte Payton. He was 2-of-2 right outside hash. I mean, he only had five misses. So when you look at his charting, his spray chart, he was so very efficient in pretty much everything that he did, right? I mean, he was 2-of-2 from 10 to 20 yards on the right, 1-of-2 in the middle, 1-of-1 on the left, 0 within 10 yards, 1-of-2 from the left, 3-of-3 on the right. I mean, again, Hendon Hooker continues to have a really, really strong showing. He was not pressured a lot in this ball game. When he went 1-of-3 for 8 yards. When he was not blitzed, he went 13-of-15 for 261 yards and 3 touchdowns. When he was blitzed, he went 2-of-5 for 55 yards and a touchdown. And when he was kept clean overall in the game, 14-of-17, 308 yards and 4 touchdowns. Of course, his overall line was 15-of-20, 316 yards and 4 touchdowns. Just another strong, strong showing for Tennessee's starting quarterback in Hendon Hooker, who was number 4 in the country in passing efficiency at 190.0. We'll move on. Velus Jones, a strong game, had a touchdown. 66.3 was his grade. You had Jalen Wright, who came in and played a lot of snaps in the second half, some key snaps in the fourth quarter. He graded out at 62.5, which is sharp. Had a lot of big-time runs there in the last little bit, but pass blocking continues to be an issue for Jalen Wright. 21.5 is how he graded out in pass blocking. Of course, he only had 4 reps, and by the percentages, he missed pretty much almost all of them except for one. Jabari Small, 26 total snaps, 62 is his grade. Javonte Payton, he was on the field for 45 snaps, 60.5 was his grade. Of course, he had that touchdown. Hunter Salmon got some reps at tight end. He was on the field for, I believe it was not Jacob Warren's touchdown, probably Velus Jones' touchdown. He had 4 snaps graded out of 59.3. Hadn't seen Hunter Salmon a lot this year at the tight end position. Javonte Spraggins, your starting guard, 57.5. He graded out at 50.7 in terms of the pass blocking, 57.2 in run blocking. Right below him, your starting left guard, Jerome Carvin. 56.7 was his grade. Really sharp in pass blocking, 76.8. So again, that's good. Tennessee's getting better in the interior at pass blocking, and that's going to be key for a Florida defensive line that works inside and then out. Darnell Wright was your 16th overall player on offense, the second to last at 49.1. You know, just wasn't his best game overall, had a penalty. And then Princeton Fant, 31 total snaps, 41.7 was his grade. And that will do it for Tennessee's offensive numbers. You look at defense, though, and you start out strong, but of course you kind of go down, you know, from there. Alante Taylor, a pick 6. I think Alante Taylor is having a really, really good year. I do. He led the way at 81.5 overall grade. That is considered very, very good. Elijah Simmons got back into the rotation, played 19 snaps, and he graded out second highest at 76.1, which is really sharp. Theo Jackson, 73.0, no surprise there. Alante Taylor and Theo Jackson have been so consistent in Tennessee's secondary that's really not been a bright spot for Tennessee's defense. Byron Young, 65.3, 72 total snaps. That's really, really good to see. Byron Young continues to be pretty much an every-down player now later in the season. Tyler Barron, 55 total snaps. He had a 62.7 for Tennessee off the edge. Trayvon Flowers, the grade doesn't look horrible. 100 total snaps, 62.3 for Trayvon Flowers in coverage. He graded out at 63.8, which is not nearly as bad as what I thought. And in run defense at 60.3. Warren Burrell, 77 total snaps, 62.1. Deshaun Terry, 31 snaps, 61.1. Caleb Tremblay, 54 snaps, 60.1. Now we're getting down into the grades that are a little bit alarming. Solon Page, 58.9, 18 total reps. Not very good in coverage. And let's see here, in 8 coverage snaps, he graded out at 51.4. So that's just over 4 snaps where he was technically doing the right thing, according to Pro Football Focus. Matthew Butler, not his best day in terms of a grade, 57.7. overall for the Tennessee defensive lineman. Jeremy Banks, 57.2. Rush defense, not a very good day. 34.9 for Jeremy Banks. He had 2 missed tackles. Jalen McCullough, 56.2 was his grade. 26.9 was his tackling grade. Again, he missed 4 tackles. Not a good day for Jalen McCullough. Aaron Beasley, 95 snaps. He graded out at 44.8. He had 4 missed tackles. Not a good day for Aaron Beasley. Kamal Haddon, 23.6 was his tackling grade. He graded out at 43.5 overall, had 2 missed tackles. Just not really sharp. And then Danico Slaughter was the last one that got a grade, 28.3, and that is just not good. He only played 7 snaps. He had 2 penalties, so that's heavily weighed in here as well. But in 6 coverage snaps, he graded out at 29.2, so not the best day for Danico Slaughter. Overall for Tennessee, 17 missed tackles, according to Pro Football Focus. You had Jalen McCullough, who had 4 missed tackles. You had Aaron Beasley, who had 4 missed tackles. Jeremy Banks and Kamal Haddon had 2 missed tackles apiece. Byron Young had a missed tackle. Tyler Barron had a missed tackle. Trayvon Flowers had a missed tackle. Theo Jackson had a missed tackle. Hey, missed tackles happen sometimes. That's just part of football, but not a good day for McCullough nor Aaron Beasley in that regard. So those are a little bit of the highs and the lows from Tennessee's win at Kentucky. per Pro Football Focus, and you can kind of see where the players are struggling, where they are shining, and where they need to improve, obviously, as Georgia comes into town this Saturday. We'll check in with Josh Ward, get his thoughts on the Kentucky win, as well as the Georgia Bulldogs coming to town. But first, let me tell you about Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks, it's a leader in college sports daily fantasy. It offers more props than anyone in the world, from the star players from the Power 5, also from the players from the mid-major ranks. Prize Picks offers any prop you can possibly think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. And on your first deposit, new users, if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Pick 2 to 5 players, the over and under, and the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries as well. You can take the over in one sport and the under in the other. You can use it all on the award-winning app or at the App Store and at Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really just that easy, and Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON, or you can go to the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks, it's daily fantasy made easy. And again, guys, this episode is brought to you by McDonald's. It's, you know, serving more than just tasty, affordable food. It's your unofficial community center. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect, a place where classmates can meet up for a study group, knowing that they're going to have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, or the away team can come to recharge before heading home. It's a place you always look forward to stopping on long road trips to rest your legs. Hey, so, you know, me and the Volcrest crew, Austin Price and Ben McKee, we headed down to Alabama to cover that game 2 weeks ago. And, of course, who did we just play? Who did Tennessee just play? Kentucky. Yeah, Kentucky. And, you know, on Sunday morning, we were heading back to Knoxville down I-75. We stopped at McDonald's, got a nice chicken biscuit, and got us on our way. It was truly what we needed to kickstart our day after a long, long night on the Tennessee beat. So McDonald's, you know about it. It's always been there, and it's always so affordable. Amazing food, and a place where you can fellowship with one another, your friends, and your family. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Segment number two of a Wednesday show. We welcome Josh Ward at Josh_Ward, former host of Locked On Vols and current host of Sports 180 on The Sports Animal, a co-worker of mine. We talk Kentucky, and we look ahead to Georgia. Here's my conversation with Josh Ward. Josh, Tennessee goes up to Kentucky and picks up an exciting win. It turned out to be an offensive fireworks show, an offensive slugfest. Don't think anybody envisioned Kentucky doing what it did, but nonetheless, Tennessee got a very important win, and now the Vols are 5-4. A tough one this Saturday, but should be 2 wins to finish out the regular season. And Tennessee, don't look now, but looks like 7 wins in year number one for Josh Heupel.
It's a position that I think most Tennessee fans would have gladly signed up for at the beginning of the season. Of course, there could be the response, no, you want to go try to win every game, and sure you do. But realistically, Tennessee was going to win some games and lose some games. And we spent so much of the offseason talking about the quote swing games, and enough have swung Tennessee's way at this point, projecting, of course, Tennessee to beat South Alabama and Vanderbilt to make this a successful year. This year would not be a success, I'd say, to most fans in a couple of years, but we're not there yet. It's year one with Josh Heupel. And it's not just the wins. It's the offense. It's the quarterback play. It's something that fans haven't seen in a few years. It's conversation that fans have not had in a few years, feeling excited about what they're seeing offensively in quarterback development and what's to come. And we'll see what's to come. But right now, fans are enjoying what they're seeing, and they should be.
You look at what Will Levis was able to do to that Tennessee defense. He's never done that before. I think Liam Cohen came in with a great game plan. I think he outcoached Tim Banks on Saturday nights, although I know Tim Banks is very limited in what he can and wants to do. Not a great day for Tennessee's defense overall, and yet an offense that's averaged 61 plays per game, they ran 99. Yet an offense that averaged 26 pass attempts, they had that in the third quarter. Just not a great day for Tennessee's defense, but Tennessee's defense did step up in the end on 4 straight plays when it counted.
Yep, you're right. And I'm a little surprised Kentucky wasn't ready for the pressure that appeared to obviously be coming and counteract that somehow, but they didn't. And credit to Tennessee for getting the job done at the end. There are some very obvious defensive issues. You know, Eric, when a team or players individually are having success and we offer the reminder, Well, teams will be able to see things on tape and they'll be able to adjust. I think that's happened here. I think teams have seen what Tennessee has tried to do with success to be able to create pressure and create those tackles for loss, which have been very helpful in some of the things Tennessee has done defensively. But I think it is also left open holes that are just going to be there. I think Tim Banks has tried to figure out, okay, what can we do best to be disruptive, to try to take the ball away, which this defense needs to do with the way the offense plays, knowing that it will leave them susceptible. And one area is quarterbacks being able to take off and run, finding holes, finding gaps. And Will Levis was the latest to do that. Last week, that was the first thing that I brought up. And, okay, if there's a concern I have, it's Kentucky being able to use Will Levis, a big quarterback who's mobile, on the ground. He ran for 75 yards against LSU. We knew he had the ability. Would he be productive? He was. He was much more productive than I thought through the air. But some of the issues we've seen recently defensively for Tennessee are what I expected at the beginning of the year. I think a lot of it's a personnel issue. That's something that has to be fixed in recruiting. I don't mean that as a knock on the roster, but you know, there are some individual guys who are up leading the way. Alante Taylor with the pick six. How big was that? I mean, doesn't happen, they may not win the game. Matthew Butler's been a really good player, and other guys have, you know, they should be commended for the jobs that they've done. But obviously, Tennessee needs more help on defense.
You know, when I look at the Tennessee defense now, and you know, I say this respectfully, the way they've played the last really 2 weeks is kind of what I expected all season long. And so give Tim Banks credit, give those players credit. They have outperformed so much more. But you're getting to that point in the season to where your no depth is really showing. You're just tired. It's game 8, game 9 of the season. And, you know, teams are starting just to wear you out. And I think you're starting to see that, you know, kind of come across. Good thing for Tennessee is, you know, no one's played well against Georgia. And then after that, you got two games that are as close, and you never say gimmies, but as close to gimmies as you're going to get in South Alabama and Vanderbilt. Of course, you got to come to play for those games. But nonetheless, I look at Tennessee's defense, and this is kind of what I expected the majority of the year. But you're right. Matthew Butler's played out of his mind. Alante Taylor has had a really, really nice season. And that's a good thing. But I think Tennessee is just slow at safety. I think Tennessee is not good at linebacker. And you got to have some reinforcements sooner or later. Let me ask you this, and this is kind of like, you know, pulling, you know, it's there's no right answer here because I think both are right. Which one was more important in that ball game, the Alante Taylor pick six or the series with 16 seconds left in the second quarter to where Tennessee steals 3 points heading into the locker room?
Yeah, you could very easily say the Alante Taylor pick six because, it's worth more points and is a big play. But I go back to the end of the first half, and I love the way that worked out for Tennessee. I thought it was a big mistake by Mark Stoops to go for it on fourth down, not because I don't like being aggressive there. If there's an extra 30 seconds on the clock, I'd say, all right, just go for it, because if you punt away, Tennessee's still going to have an opportunity to score. But with that short amount of time left, Kentucky was getting the ball at the end of the or to start the second half. Josh Heupel knew that. So he knew, hey, if we get the ball here, let's take a shot. Let's go quick. Kentucky has seen Tennessee be able to hit some plays down the field, so they have to play back a little bit. And Tennessee goes quickly. It's executed perfectly. And they get 3 points. And obviously you can look at the final score and see a 45-42 final and say, okay, well, there's the difference in the game. So the pick six is probably the answer in terms of, well, just look at the points scored and that big play. But the mindset going for it there, I know that it's been said, well, none of the other previous coaches would have done that. I know Jeremy Pruitt wouldn't have, because we've seen him with more time to say, we're not going to try to score. Literally, at the Kentucky game 2018, they hit a Hail Mary to Marquez Callaway. He said, we weren't trying to score there. When are you not trying to score? So I love the mindset from Josh Heupel. I think he understands really well when to be aggressive, when to sit on it. I will say, if he's going to run the clock out, he needs to take a knee, not run Jabari Small into the offensive line anymore. Just had to throw that in there. But I just thought it was great. I love that Heupel did it. I knew that he was going to go for it. And Mark Stoops, I think, was affected by the fact that he knows how aggressive and how good Josh Heupel's offense is. That's why he went for it at the end of the first half. That's why he went at the weird slow pace that he did in that final possession, where it actually got them into a spot where they had to rush because they had gone too slow at midfield. So the way Josh Heupel's coaching is definitely affecting the way that other coaches coach.
Two more here with Josh Ward, a former host here of Locked On Vols, host of Sports 180 on the Sports Animal. Josh, you brought up Mark Stoops. Where do you come down on this, man? I mean, it doesn't matter because, you know, obviously they converted on the 4th-and-24. Who doesn't, right? But for Mark Stoops to be flagged in that situation, I thought was just baffling. How in the world are you going to flag a coach after an obvious missed call? I don't care what he said. It's like in baseball. It's like, okay, I missed one. You just let the guy say whatever he wants, right? How are you going to flag somebody in that situation? Again, Kentucky converts, so really it's not as big of a deal as what it could have been. But what did you think about that big penalty for Mark Stoops that really put his team in a bind there?
Yeah, and it didn't. It probably wasn't the right approach by Mark Stoops. He's emotional in that spot. He's right. They blew it. I don't know how you blow that call either. He's the quarterback with the ball. So I mean, what else are you watching? I thought it was that. That's a spot where Tennessee got it. Tennessee was handed the win there essentially, and then gave it back, and then took it back later, getting the stop, of course. But I think Mark Stoops is a good coach. He's at a program where the way we talk about Kentucky is because of what Mark Stoops has done there. And there's a ceiling on what they're able to do, I believe, because they're only going to have so much talent there, but they develop and they buy in and they're fundamentally sound. They're developed the way that you would hope Kentucky would be realistically. But that sequence at the end, that it was very appropriate for that kind of game though. A game that was back and forth and all these things are happening that we can't believe. So of course there's a 4th-and-9 where Tennessee's actually going to get a call and then they throw a flag. So the officials are saying, yeah, we're just going to take the game away from you. We're going to make it 4th-and-24. Good luck to you, Big Blue. And then they actually get it. So I thought it was all very appropriate for the game.
And even more on par for that game for Tennessee to allow that to convert at 4th-and-24.
Yeah, to allow it and then come back and make defensive plays to get the stop.
Obviously.
So you give up the easiest play for you of the game. And then when all of a sudden you're pressured again, you bring the house and get the job done.
A tougher opponent will be here this Saturday at Neyland Stadium, a 3:30 CBS kick. It is the 85 Bears. Wait, it's the Georgia Bulldogs. The challenge is obviously just outside of the fact of they play outstanding defense. They play good enough offense. They seem to be churning, and I think they're going to win the national championship. But Tennessee's obviously got to play them. What does Tennessee need to do to try to make it a ball game?
Yeah, I do too. Well, I'll lead off with the just prerequisite. You got to win the turnover battle by multiple turnovers. Has to happen. I can't envision a scenario where you don't and you win the game. But also, Tennessee has to hit some big plays. They have to attack, I'd say, Georgia's secondary and hope to hit some of those plays. And Tennessee's offense can hit big plays. The challenge, the fear, is what happens up front. It's just a wrecking crew coming from Georgia. And Tennessee's offensive line had issues at times, the backs as well, but you know the health of the backs is a question going into this game. So if you can't protect Hendon Hooker, it's more likely that Tennessee turns the ball over, and that becomes a problem. Now, Hendon's done a great job taking care of the ball, but if pressure keeps coming and big guys keep hitting you, you know that's a problem. So I'm really intrigued to see the matchup. I'm really intrigued to see what Tennessee's offense can do, but the talent gap between Georgia and almost everybody is unfair. And it's unfair going in Georgia versus Tennessee. So take your shot. And because of the Kentucky game, I think fans are more excited to see what happens with, you know, while keeping expectations realistic, knowing how it could play out. I think that's all you can ask for.
A big thanks to Josh Ward for stopping by the show. And we will tie a bow on this episode, this Wednesday show, by recapping Tennessee's win over UT Martin on the other side. But before we get into that, guys, Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar by now, you really are just missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it doesn't taste like one. You have one, you can try one of these amazing bars to truly believe it. Most protein bars, they're chalky, they're waxy, they're just plain hard to choke down. But Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience, really, and one that you're going to enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar, probably because that 100% real chocolate what it's covered in. Built Bars are low in carbs, low in calorie, low in fat, low in sugar, high in protein, all healthy benefits on top of purely just being delicious. So many flavors. Another great thing about Built Bar, they are mouthwatering flavors that include coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, double chocolate, and cherry. And this month, Built is coming out with a new limited time flavor every 3 to 4 days. So check their website and check it often because you don't want to miss out. Go to Built Bar or go to Built.com. Use that promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. And back and better than ever, a new web interface for the start of basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. I had a lot of good time on betonline.ag last night with that Tennessee basketball game, and I know you probably did as well. BetOnline remains your number one spot for football as well, but basketball is tipping off right now. So head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website, sign up today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code Locked On to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage on all the amazing offers available for this 2021 season. Bet online, it's your fastest, it's your easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, it is where the game starts. All right, we got a final segment left here on a Wednesday, Locked On Vols, and let's recap what was a 28-point victory for Tennessee over UT Martin. That was last night inside Thompson Bowling Arena, 90-62. A lot to like from this football. Gosh, you guys know me. I'm a football guy. It's football season. But basketball is here. A lot to like about this basketball game. And I know you guys were watching it, as was I, listening to the radio call, watching on television. Yes, I am 80 years old, but I wouldn't have it any other way. So Tennessee, the big storyline exiting this ball game was 17 made three-pointers. That is a program record, a single-game program record, 17 made three-pointers. The Volunteers used that to, you know, continue to push away and push away and push away from UT Martin, who shot the basketball very well in this game. UT Martin, 45% from the field, was just down by 8 at the halftime break. It was, you know, a back-and-forth game there for the first 10 minutes of the ball game before Tennessee got a lead and really couldn't push away until finally in that second half whenever, you know, the rotation was just way too much for UT Martin. But 17 made three-pointers, okay? Tennessee shot 42% from, or 43% from three in this ball game. You made 17 of 40. Tennessee shot 43% overall from the field, 33 of 77 baskets made. Tennessee forced 21 turnovers, which was critical in this game. And, of course, Kennedy Chandler, the star, five-star freshman, the guy Tennessee has been waiting on for quite some time. 20 points, 7 of 10 shooting, 4 of 4 from long range, 2 of 2 from the charity stripe. He also had 4 assists and 22 minutes of game action. So Kennedy Chandler, he did not disappoint in his Tennessee debut, and he led all scorers again with 20 points. Actually, he tied for the lead in points of the game overall because Santiago Vescovi added 20 as well. 6 of 13 shooting, 6 of 11 from downtown. Santiago Vescovi, only one turnover, 5 rebounds, and he has really done some work to slim his body down and become a better athlete, and it was a good night for him as he got the start. Olivier Kumwa, a career-high 11 points off 4 of 10 shooting. He was also perfect from the charity stripe. 14 rebounds for Olivier. That is a double-double, and I'm not for certain, but I would assume that is probably his first career double-double for Olivier Kumwa, who is in the starting rotation, and he's here to stay for the time being, even without John Fulkerson playing in this basketball game. Of course, John Fulkerson still dealing with a thumb injury. Didn't expect him to play in this opener, but he's not far from returning. It was Uros Plavsic who got the start, 6 points in about 16 minutes of game action. But, you know, overall, Tennessee is deep. You know, Brandon Huntley-Hatfield came in, scored 7 points, 19 minutes played, added 6 rebounds. I thought he looked pretty good. You got Quentin Dibunje who came in, played 4 minutes. You've got Ziegler who came in, played 14 minutes, had 3 points. Victor Bailey Jr. came in shooting off the wall, as he always does, 2 of 7 from downtown, but he did make 2 3-pointers, of course, and 6 points. And a guy that I really liked, and he only played 7 minutes, and, you know, with Dibunje and Mayshak, the guy I'm talking about now, you know, they're kind of at the back of the end rotation, right? But, man, I think Mayshak's going to be a good player. He can do a little bit of everything. He had 5 rebounds in 7 minutes last night, okay? And I really like the makeup of this player. And, of course, Powell, the transfer from Auburn, came in, added 13 points off the bench in 20 minutes played. So you just go down and you look at the stat sheet. This Tennessee team is going to be deep. Will it always incorporate this many players? Probably not. You know, it'll take some time to cut down the rotation a little bit. But, I mean, off the bench, just in game one, Huntley Hatfield, Dabunje, Ziegler, Bailey Jr., Mayshak, Powell, Jansen got in there for less than a minute, but he did get in that ball game. But, and of course, Sean Fulkerson didn't play. So this is a team that is very, very deep. This is a team that has a lot of depth. And again, this is why I said all offseason, I feel like this team is better on paper than what, more complete on paper than what last year's club was. And of course, last year you had two first round picks. And so it's kind of shocking to believe. So, you know, we'll have to see. Of course, it's what we do. We in this industry, podcasting, doing radio, you say, who are your Elite Eight teams? Who are your Final Four teams? You know, who's going to win the SEC this year? It's fun to project and everything, but again, if last year didn't teach us any type of lesson, you can never just assume things. You can never assume a Final Four. Tennessee's never been to a Final Four. But this team does have the depth. This team does have the personnel, I feel like, to make a deep run. But it's just night number one. 90-62 was the final score. Of course, Tennessee over UT Martin. I mentioned defensively, a lot of things to work on. UT Martin shot 45% from the field overall in the game. And that's, you know, that was shot a really high percentage there in the first half as well. As I'll see that first half scoring total, they shot 55% from the half, from the field in the first half. That is nothing you want to get involved in. But Tennessee did force 21 turnovers, scored 24 points off those turnovers. Tennessee had 46 defensive rebounds, or 23 defensive rebounds, 46 overall, won the Battle of the Boards 46-37, and Tennessee just dominated with the points off the bench 31-9, and also dominated on the boards, obviously 34 second-half points for the Volunteers. So, again, Tennessee held this lead, you know, for 28 minutes and 36 seconds of the ball game. Had a largest lead at 32 when they were leading 84-52. This is what it was, right? I mean, UT Martin, you knew it was going to be an easy win, but it was fun to watch, and it was just a little splash of what could be to come all year long for this University of Tennessee basketball team. So, a lot of fun. What were some of your thoughts on watching Tennessee basketball over the span of that 40-minute game on Tuesday night? I would love to know, because it was just a lot of fun, right? And of course, they're going to be tested the more they go on. Of course, you got the win over UT Martin here on Tuesday night. We'll take on ETSU at Thompson Bowling Arena on Sunday, and then the big clash November the 20th in the Hall of Fame tip-off tournament. That is going to be against Villanova. So 1-0 for the University of Tennessee, 90-62 the win. The stars, Kennedy Chandler, the stars, Santiago Vescovi, and I'm going to throw Olivier Kumwa in there. Career high 11 points, a double-double, 14-point efforts, and Tennessee shoots 43% from the field on a night where it made 17 three-pointers. That is a program record. All right, that will do it here for a Wednesday Locked On Vols. Hope you enjoyed it. We looked over some pro football focused grades from the Kentucky game. We caught up with Josh Ward, and we recapped what was an exciting night inside Thompson Bowling Arena, a Tennessee victory over UT Martin. All right, going to try my best to get a crossover episode at some point this week, really working to get that lined up, but we will break down Georgia. We'll dive into Georgia a whole lot tomorrow regardless. And don't forget to check out Locked On SEC right now. Chris Gordy is the host 5 days a week, Locked On SEC. Make that your second listen. As always, thanks for making Locked On Vols your first listen. It's a free podcast available on all platforms 5 days a week and coming to YouTube very, very soon. Guys, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody.